Today is Sunday, June 12th, 2016, and this...
And as I set off on the last leg of my road trip to Las Vegas, I can't help but feel that a whole new journey is about to begin.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 556.
Las Vegas, we are on!
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
My voice just went there at the beginning of the show, which is inconvenient. Sorry. I'm already off my game.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. All right. So, as it seems to be the case far too often lately, we're using this podcast and I guess Las Vegas in general as our escape from reality. And you've probably, depending on when you're listening to this, you've most definitely seen the news about the horrible things that have happened in Orlando, and, you know, how do you even respond to that these days?
Mm-hmm. Worse than the usual horrible things that happened in Orlando.
That's true. It's generally we don't need to slag on Orlando on when they're going through this horrific time.
No, please, if you live in the Orlando area, donate blood.
Yeah, I don't know what to even say anymore about this stuff, but... Like I said, I guess... I'm like, I don't know, what do we say? I feel like I have to say something, and I don't know what to say.
I know. I feel like everything I say is inappropriate, because I feel like, on the one hand, I'm supposed to be taking people's minds off the tragedy. On the other hand, I feel trite.
Right.
I don't want to ignore it.
So I guess, you know, our thoughts are certainly with everybody who's affected by it, and at this point, it kind of is at the point where we're all affected by it, and that fucking sucks.
Well, what sucks is that it's routine now.
Yeah. Well, we are going to carry on. We're going to do a podcast. We've been told many times that this show acts as a way for people to escape, in a sense. And it certainly does for us. So we're going to try to use it in that light and do our usual half-assed podcast for you, our beloved listeners. So let's jump into some Las Vegas stuff and try to focus on that for a little bit. Couple follow-ups from last week's show. Actually, the last couple weeks, we've been talking about TSA lines at the airport and how to figure out when to get to the airport, and is there a better way than just showing up and then finding out there's no line or the line is too long. We discussed that TSA has data on their website and on their app. Apparently, that's fairly imperfect. They don't update it that often. A couple of people on the Facebook group recommended that there is an app that is very useful. It's called MyFlight, and it's MIFLIGHT. I don't know if it's just for Apple stuff or if it's available. I don't think it might be available on Android too. But anyway, it's crowdsourced TSA line info. So when you're in line, you can post like how long the line is. Hopefully a lot of people are using this, because then it would be a very useful app.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of crowdsourced information.
I am too. But as long as it works.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as people are contributing to it.
Yeah,
because
the reviews have been good from the people who have used it on our Facebook group. So that might be something for people to check out if you're wondering actual time what's happening. In fact, I saw a video, one of the shitty network morning shows, Today or Good Morning America or one of those, talked about this app. And they were at an airport in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as specific as one of the security lines was 25 minutes long. The other one was no wait. The guy went over to the other side of the airport and got right through, and the app told him he should do that. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. If it works, awesome. I'm going to be checking out this app. Another update, an update to an update. You might remember last week I mentioned that Ben had emailed me and was providing information on the pricing on Topgolf. And I misunderstood his email. I thought that it was per person. It's not per person. It is per golf bay. So that's even better.
Yeah.
Cheaper. You don't have to pay, you know, $30 to $60 a person. It's actually per per bay per hour, I think. No, I'm going to get that wrong. No, it's all day. No, I think it is per bay per hour. But anyway, so that's a good thing. All the exact pricing is on their website. And thanks again to Ben for his review of that last week. Okay, this week's news. There's a bunch of things to talk about. We're going to start off with Uncle Steve, the king of Las Vegas. Or as one article, one press release not too long ago said what did they call him? The people who are partnering with him on the lake that he's planning on building. It wasn't the inventor of Las Vegas. It was something very close.
Hmm.
They were elevating him. Obviously, he's very important to the Las Vegas Strip, but you know, he's not the Pope of Las Vegas exactly. And if he were the Pope of Las Vegas, he wouldn't have such contempt for his flock as Steve Wynn does. Steve Wynn's speeches are becoming more and more entertaining over time as he gets older.
And crankier.
Oh, he is a cranky man these days. A couple months ago, we talked about the conference call that I listened in on where he mentioned that nobody likes being around poor people. So that was a controversial quote that got a lot of publicity. He spoke at a gambling conference at the Mirage this week, and as luck would have it, it was streaming live online, so I got to watch this thing, and it was fantastic. He got very, very honest about his customers, and it's clear he has a great contempt for many of his customers.
Yet he has no problem taking their money.
No, it's which, you know, he's a businessman. He's in the business of making money. That's fine, but at least I don't know if I have an appreciation of this honesty or a... I don't know how I feel about this exactly.
Yeah.
I'm entertained by it.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some of the things that he said about people who visit Wynn properties in Las Vegas, specifically club goers. Now, he's made a shit ton of money off of the nightclubs.
Uh-huh.
And he continues to, you know, double down on that market and try to bring more and more club goers in. He said, this is an exact quote, "I don't have a lot of respect for the nightclub crowd. Either we have attracted every moron in the world, or there's something about the sound that allows normal people to check their human sensibilities at the door."
Wow.
So next time you're having a great time at XS, remember, the guy who owns the place hates you. That wasn't it, though. We've spent a lot of time on this podcast talking about how entertaining it is to watch the Las Vegas resorts try to figure out how to squeeze money out of the next generation, the younger generation, the millennials. And even, you know, Wynn Las Vegas has put in that area, the Encore?
Social club or whatever.
Whatever the hell that thing is. They've made a special area of the casino that is aimed at millennials who are passing time and waiting to get into the nightclub, and they can hang out and they can maybe play blackjack and maybe play some non-gambling fun games like the ever-popular shuffleboard. I don't know what else they have for non-gambling activities there.
Cornhole?
I don't know if they have that there or not. But anyway, speaking about millennials, he said, this is even better than the nightclub stuff, they spend too much, quote, dim-witted time on social media, and this is a full quote, They get older later, so maybe when they're about 60, we'll have a chance to get some common sense out of them. In the meantime, we're doing well with the little darlings in our nightclubs.
Wow.
The little darlings. What a condescending dick. So in addition to that, some of the positive things to come out of this is he talked about the need for making employees feel really good about where they work, and that translates to great customer service and great customer experiences. So that was a large part of what he talked about. However, he did also boast about being the person to introduce bad craps odds and 6-5 blackjack to the Las Vegas Strip.
Boo.
He was very proud of that.
He shouldn't be.
Yeah, you know, he is. He doesn't care about his customers. He does. He cares about them having a good experience. But clearly, it's such a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I treat my employees really well so that they give our customers a really good experience. By the way, I hate them. And they're lazy and dim-witted, and I don't understand them. But welcome and give us your money, and I don't really like you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm so conflicted because I'm entertained by it, and yet I'm like, what a dick.
Yeah.
So there you go. Next time you're in the Wynn and Encore properties, keep in mind, Steve Wynn hates you. All right, moving along to another CEO on the Las Vegas Strip that we spend a lot of times talking about, MGM Resort CEO Jim Murren In an interview with the Las Vegas Sun, he discussed the plans for Monte Carlo to be transformed into Park, MGM, and Nomad, which we discussed last week. And he provided some additional details. So we were wondering what exactly Nomad would consist of, since the current hotel within Monte Carlo, the separate hotel, Hotel 32, is only the top floor and 50 rooms. And Nomad, the plan is to be more rooms than that. He provided details on that. It's going to be the top three floors. They'll have a separate entrance, and that entrance is near the new T-Mobile Arena. So it's in that area. And let's see, other details he provided about the transformation. Construction is going to begin late this fall, and it's going to end in late 2018. So it'll take a while, as you would expect from a major renovation.
Yep.
When asked about room rates, he said, this is bad news for people who love the value of Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
Room rates will be comparable to Cosmopolitan.
Oh.
And as we all know, the Cosmopolitan room rates are not low.
No, they are
not. Now, they have some good offers, so you can periodically stay there at a decent rate. However, their standard room rates, if you look at their website, are pretty high. So, kind of a bummer, but not completely surprising given the fact that they're upgrading the property significantly. Details on a couple more restaurants that weren't initially mentioned in the announcement. There's one planned called 11 Madison. It's based on a New York City restaurant. And I was looking at the website for that restaurant. It appears that the only thing they offer is a tasting menu. It's $295 a person. I don't know if that'll be the exact same concept they bring into to their location in Las Vegas, but I would imagine if that's their thing, it probably would be. A second restaurant, which is part of, it's actually a transplant from Nomad, New York City, is called The Library. That's going to be replacing the sports book. So a couple more restaurants. And as I mentioned, if there's a restaurant or bar or anything you like in Monte Carlo, its days are probably numbered. I don't expect a ton of things to make the transition. Mm-hmm. They're looking to make this an entirely new experience. So if there's something you like there, visit it now.
Did I comment last time on how much I hate the spelling of Nomad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't... Yeah.
Let's put a capital letter in the middle of the damn name.
You won't be mad at Nomad. It's crazy. The casino floor is going to be the exact same size, location. They're not changing the footprint of that at all. He mentioned that. So that tells me they're probably not going to do a lot to the casino itself other than maybe some visual changes, probably new carpeting and... Mm. And maybe some...
So the casino will still be boring?
That's what I'm gathering from this. Yeah, they're not going to give us any reason to play in the casino, but we shall see what else happens. It'll be fun to follow this as the transition occurs over the next couple of years, and we will certainly be reporting on this as more restaurants and resident performers and all kinds of things are announced. One more MGM Resort story before we move on. Our favorite players club, but that would be... No, it's not. M Life is not a good players club. At least not, we have not benefited from it greatly.
Except that one time.
Except for one time, yeah. But otherwise, despite how much we've played, which has been a fair amount during different trips, the room offers haven't been great and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, for people who are fans of the MGM Players Club, M Life Rewards, they now have a credit card available. And this is always... for people who are into a specific players club, this can be a very good thing because it can help you rack up points when you're not gambling or staying at one of their properties and keep your points active and also sometimes has some additional benefits. So the thing with the M Life MasterCard is in addition to points, you get, you know, for everything you buy, you get one M Life point. I think for certain things, you get double points, groceries and something else. And then for any purchases at an M Life property, it's triple points. The real benefit, kind of, depending on whether or not it is a benefit, is just by holding, just by having the credit card, you're automatically a Pearl member of M Life, which isn't a super high. That's like their second level from the basic one. But along with that comes free self parking. So this is one more way to get around the parking fees if that's important to you. The nice thing is there's no annual fee for this card. So again, if you're trying to find a way to avoid the parking fees, it would be nice if they would say, and also no resort fee, but that certainly isn't going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Or even if you spent a certain level, if you know, $5,000 in a year, no resort fees. That would be a huge benefit, but they're not going down that road yet. The Pearl level is really, the benefits of it are pretty modest. You get, again, free self-parking, you get buffet line passes, and then some other very minimal things that aren't really that fantastic. Priority check-in is another benefit of the credit card. So, again, if you want to avoid the parking fees, this is one way to do it. And the nice thing is there's no annual fee on the card. So you don't even have to put a certain number of points on the card to maintain that Pearl status. So that's helpful too. Just by having the card, you're automatically it. Now, inevitably, in 2 to 3 years, they will cancel the card. You'll end up with a card from some other bank that has no benefits tied to any slot machine or any players club. That typically is what happens. And then they'll wait another year and introduce another new card.
Mm.
That happens a lot, the Las Vegas cycle. I know that, like, Caesars Entertainment, it seems like they've had a series of different credit cards. But for now, might be a benefit to some of our listeners. All right. We have a rumor to discuss.
Which means you get to play a sound clip.
I know. I get so excited whenever I get to use one of these things.
Rumor Watch. It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
All right. We've been discussing the status of the Fontainebleau non-hotel, non-resort, non-casino that's been standing dormant for so long on the north end of the Strip. And there have been stories mainly supplied by the company that's trying to sell it, that there's a buyer in the waiting that's negotiating and coming soon to a Las Vegas Review-Journal near you. Well, Las Vegas Advisors David McKee, he does the Stiffs and Georges blog, reported this week that his sources tell him that the mystery buyer, the supposed mystery buyer, or buyers, are the Fertitta brothers, owners of Red Rock Resorts, Station Casinos, and many other things. And that they have expressed interest in that property. McKee is skeptical about it. He, you know, says they're doing well with all of their off-strip holdings.
Yep.
This would be a huge leap for them. And while they may have some of the funding to do it, he kind of seemed to question whether or not they would really want to dump this much money into bringing that property up to speed and opening it up. So I don't know. I'm giving this one a 35%.
It would be nice if it happens because we want something to happen with Fontainebleau. But
yeah, and they do a good job with their properties. We've talked about how nice Red Rock Resort, and Green Valley Ranch is okay. They've done a nice job with their recent the recent purchase. I'm really curious to whether or not this happens. I'm still very skeptical about whether or not it will.
And is this the right place for them to enter into the Strip game?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
I mean, they just bought Palm, so you would think maybe they kind of have their hands full with that, but I don't know. Time will tell.
Maybe they're in an expanding mood.
Very much so, it seems. So we'll certainly follow this rumor and see if there's anything to it. In the meantime, cobwebs and dust continue to layer everything in sight at Fontainebleau. This next story, I had completely forgotten about this, even though it's something we've discussed on and off for the life of this podcast. High-speed rail to Las Vegas from Southern California. There have been different rail-related plans over the years. There was going to be a party train at one point. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. The one that's come up time and time again used to be called, I think it was like Desert Express or something. Now the most recent name is Express West. And they've been planning this train from Victorville, California, which I don't know a lot about, but every time this comes up, people are like, there's no way people in LA are going to drive to Victorville in order to take a train, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know that that's necessarily the greatest location, but that was the plan. Victorville to Las Vegas for a high-speed rail line. The news this week is that the project is once again kind of dormant, dead. The company that was supposedly going to fund the majority of this project, this Chinese company, and Express West have now split up. They've broken off their relationship. And as a result, the Express West people are... Express West, it sounds like an airline.
Yeah.
Express West is seeking new partners and new money to keep the dream alive. One of the articles said that they've been working on this for 30 years. So it's good.
30 years?
You'd think at some point they'd go, fuck it, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you had your heart set on taking a high-speed train to Las Vegas, it's not going to happen anytime soon. We'll report on this again in another 3 years when there's an update.
Mm-hmm.
A couple entertainment notes. Longtime, very popular Las Vegas show, Jersey Boys, is closing. That has been at Paris for the last several years. Before that, it was a Venetian. Mm-hmm. It's going to be closing in September.
It's had a nice long run.
I know. That's a really, really good long stretch, for especially for a stage musical, which historically don't do great in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. This is one that has shunned some of the trends, stuck around for a long time. There's no word on a replacement or what Paris is planning to do with their theater.
We never saw it, but always heard good things.
Yeah, I don't remember ever receiving a bad review of the Las Vegas residency of Jersey Boys. So yeah, I don't know what they'll do. Maybe Paris will go off the charts and do something completely new and groundbreaking, or maybe they'll bring in another Broadway transplant. I don't know, but we'll certainly report on it. I don't know. I was surprised by this because it's one of those shows that you just kind of, oh yeah, Jersey Boys, it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, not anymore. You only have till September to see it. Apparently they had been selling tickets beyond September. So it wasn't like they've been secretly planning this for a long time. It seems like it just kind of, they decided for whatever reason, I don't know if ticket sales were slow or what happened here, but they've notified people who had tickets for beyond September that they can get refunds. So that's the scoop. There is a longtime Las Vegas performer that is returning to the Strip after a multi-year absence. I remember when we started going to Las Vegas, and this was one of those guys kind of like Danny Gans, where you just saw his name everywhere and you're like, who the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
Clint Holmes was a performer at Harrah's for several years in the 90s, had a regular show, and he was still living in Las Vegas and would occasionally perform at like the Smith Center and places like that, but hasn't had a regular Strip show in a long time, and now he is going to again. He's returning to the Strip at Venetian. They announced this week, Clint Holmes, Between the Lines. And he does like the, I think he does a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of one of those, like a little bit of music or a lot of music, a little bit of comedy.
A
little bit of everything. 6 month run beginning on July 16th at the Palazzo Theater. Tuesdays through Saturdays at 10 p.m. Ticket prices have not been announced, but they go on sale on the 15th. So if you're interested in Clint Holmes, you can certainly see him. I don't know. I don't really think we'll probably go see Clint Holmes, but by all accounts, he's a fantastic Las Vegas performer. Like the kind of guy that you think of as a Las Vegas stage performer, a little, mm-hmm. little cheesy, a little, but super talented. So there you have it. Initially it's a 6 month run, whether or not it lasts that long, who knows? It seems like there's been a lot of turnover lately at Venetian. So I don't know whether or not it'll last that long or not. Finally, some downtown bar news. I'm no longer using the Fremont Street Bars theme because I think that site is officially dead.
Yeah. You've decided that you're no longer...
I don't know. It's been a year since I've posted anything to it. I haven't updated stuff in a while.
Oh.
I know. So anyway, I've been wondering when this bar was going to open. It's called Virtue Vice. We discussed it a couple times when this venue, called The Venue, was built.
Mm-hmm.
So The Venue is a multi-purpose building for wedding receptions and corporate events and things like that. They can use it for a bunch of different things. And as part of this, they built a bar called Virtue Vice. And the venue opened several months ago, and yet the bar itself has not been open on a regular basis. Until now, Fridays and Saturdays, you can check it out between 8 p.m. and midnight. It's right across the street from downtown Container Park. And if anybody visits it, we would love to have a review and hear whether or not it's anything worth visiting. On a downer note, somebody posted on our Facebook group that they visited Wayfarer,
mm-hmm.
which is a bar that we love
at
Inspire. And they said the bartenders didn't really know how to do anything beyond like vodka soda.
What?
So they are doing the craft beer thing. But so when we were in there in March or April, they said they were going to, they've been saying for ages, we don't have a specialty menu right now. We're revamping it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. They don't have a menu, which that's fine. You know, bars don't always have a specialty menu, although most of them do now. We were told that they were going to be switching their focus to craft beer and whiskey. And apparently that is happening, at least the craft beer part of things.
But not the whiskey so much?
Well, they were going to install a bunch of taps and have a bunch of craft beers on tap. That's mm-hmm. not the case. It's mostly canned beer. But the bartenders kind of didn't... They see, based on the review on our Facebook group, it sounds like maybe it was just that bartender, but it sounds like
they had no idea what they're doing.
It's been a bit of a downgrade from the people who used to work there. It is currently run by the same people who run Gold Spike, And I almost wonder if they're using it as a training ground for Gold Spike or something.
Hmm.
I don't know. But it's hopefully they'll get their shit together because I really like that space.
Yeah.
Always have a good time there. Anyway, that's a side note. Moving along before we get to our phone calls.
Viator. Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Our beloved sponsor, Viator. You know all about them because you listen to this podcast. They sell tours and show tickets and attractions and all kinds of things to make your vacation in Las Vegas and in any major tourist destination awesome. One of the things I wanted to mention that we've discussed a few times is their low price guarantee. This is a great thing. So they have this low price guarantee in place to protect you in a couple different ways. One is that if you find a lower price for the same tour that you've booked within 72 hours of booking, all you need to do is send them the details and they will refund the price difference. They make it really easy. No exceptions, no gimmicks. The second way is that when you arrive at your destination, you're going to go on, you're in Louisiana. You're going to go on one of those cool fan boats that I have dreams of someday riding on.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that the tour operator that is running the tour, the fan boat tour, they are now offering a lower price than you booked on Viator. That's okay. Viator has you covered there as well. After you get home, send them the details. They will check it out and they will refund the price difference. It's that easy. They have all the details on their website. So you know you're getting a good price. And if for some reason the price drops, you know that you're protected. It's a great way to make your vacation better. Book something awesome through Viator. You can check it out at viator.com or download their iOS and Android apps. And as always, if you're going to book, click through the link at 500bymidnight.com before doing so, and it tells Viator that you find our podcast to be useful in some way, some manner. All right. Thanks, Viator. We appreciate it. We love you. Phone calls from you, our listeners. Let's start with Mark.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. Mark from D.C. I posted a picture of winning some big old cash on my first day in Vegas. It was
nice.
Within 6 hours of landing, which is terrific. I'm now maybe 30 hours into my trip. It has been a very, very long and eventful 30 hours. I've had lots of fun. I'm staying at the Mirage. They have really improved here. The new Still is a big improvement over B.B. King's, the Still restaurant. And the new Center Bar is great. It's a nice addition as well. So that's two good positive developments at the Mirage. I'm slurring my words. I'm drunk. I'm sorry. But having a great time. We've been at the pools. We had dinner at Sushi Samba, which is good. The energy at the Venetian seems a little bit down. I mean, it is a weekend, so maybe not the convention corporate time of week. We went over to Omnia, the club, which I know you guys don't do because they don't allow sneakers.
Okay, I just need to... The not allowing sneakers is not the reason we don't do nightclubs. Is that correct? Would we be doing nightclubs if I could dress like a schlub and go in?
No.
No. It's...
It's just not our thing.
No.
If it's your thing, that's awesome. But it's just not our thing.
Yeah,
I would like to go once, I think, just to check it out.
I feel like we did, but no, didn't we not? Have we not gone to any nightclubs? And no, Coyote Ugly doesn't count.
No.
Yeah, I guess not.
No.
We've seen what they look like. We've gone in.
Right.
But no, I guess we haven't. Okay. Well, maybe we'll find a way to go to a nightclub sometime just so we can confirm that it's not our thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it has nothing. It has little to do with the shoe thing. That's just a side. That's just the one time that we were going to go. That was what prevented us from. Not that I'm carrying that around 10 years later.
10 years. It's been 10 years.
Harboring a horrible grudge against my good friend Mikey for putting me through that humiliating evening that I still have traumatic flashbacks.
Tim, but we got in. And I will note that the restaurants at the Caesar's Palace and Forum Shops are just jam-packed. It was crazy, crazy busy. They've redone some stuff there as well, and it looks good. A lot of energy at Caesar's Palace. Mirage, good. Caesar's Palace, good. Venetian seems a little dead. So that's my report for now. Maybe I'll report back later with some more stuff, but have a great week. And love Vegas. Love you guys. Peace out. See ya.
Thanks, Mark. Much appreciated. Appreciate the reports.
Mm-hmm.
Caesar's Palace seems to do a pretty good job of staying fresh.
Yeah.
There's always a new churn of better restaurants and better everything, it seems like.
And it seems like they've settled. Even though there's change, it's not... under construction the way it always seemed to be previously. Like there was always a wall up, or there was always something going on where it seemed like it seems more subtle now.
Yeah, well, they went through such a long stretch where they were building new towers when they put in Augustus and whatever the, I can't even, Octavius, I guess. Mm-hmm. There was always a lot of activity happening outside, and then inside, yeah, like you mentioned, they had things walled off. Now it's, they've got construction walls up because they're replacing one restaurant or one bar with a new one, but it seems like there's always something happening there. And
but it's not like the whole place is just this maze of construction walls like it seemed to be at one time.
Remember when, it's weird, we've been talking a lot about, well, this week, of course, with Steve Wynn being everybody's grumpy, you know, favorite grumpy CEO, and then MGM has certainly become the whipping boy because of their...
The fees?
Yeah, their whole thing of fees and skimping on things to make more money and all that stuff. Remember when Caesars Entertainment was the bad guy?
Yeah.
Everybody hated them because of the resort fee thing.
The
and the lack of maintenance and the Paris balloon looking like shit and all that.
Yeah.
And
they initially, they weren't the first with the resort fees.
No.
For a while they were like, we don't have resort fees, look at us. And then they caved, and then we're like, no.
Well, that's just it. Once they caved, that was like, you knew as soon as that happened,
everyone was kind of had to
follow
fee.
Suit. Didn't have to, but was going to follow suit. So Caesars now hasn't gotten as much negative attention, and I'm wondering, is that because they're starting to turn things around, or is it just because they don't look as bad now that
everybody else looks horrible?
Now that MGM is kind of, because MGM was the one, they really, on the strip, they were well ahead of Caesars with the resort fee thing, and yet, again, maybe it was the combination of Caesars, the way that they went about it, saying, we hate resort fees, and then a year later saying, by the way,
we love resort fees, resort they fee make time. Money.
And it was the way that they framed it up as people, our customers demanded it.
That's right. Yeah, that was BS.
I'd like to think that they're maybe starting to turn things around. They're certainly pumping some money into the strip for the first time in a long time with renovations to things other than Caesar's Palace, with some of their room renovations. And they still have a long way to go with some of their properties. Paris is in dire need of a room refresh, but... yeah, I guess it's nice to see that maybe they're doing some things right. And I certainly like to visit Caesar's Palace, even though I don't love staying there. It still makes me feel good to be at Caesar's Palace. I like what they're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next caller, please.
Hey, Tom, Michelle, this is Guillermo from California. Just calling a quick, report from our anniversary trip, her birthday trip this weekend to Vegas. Saw Celine Dion. She's amazing. I wasn't even a fan. I think I knew the Titanic song, and I would go back in a heartbeat.
Do you hear that?
You are a better man than I am, Guillermo, because I have a wife that I love with every inch of my being sitting 4 feet away from me who wants to see Celine, and I'm like, have fun with that. I am a horrible human because I just can't. I can't do it.
Okay.
It's okay. There are many, at some point we should make a list
of things we've gone to see on each other's behalf.
Not even that, but musical acts that I'm not into, but that I would go, yeah, I'd see that and see what the line is. Because I'm even curious where I would fall. Celine Dion is clearly below it. I just, even as a goof, I just have no interest in seeing Celine. And yet there are others that I'm not into that I'm like, yeah, I don't care about that, but I would go. I don't know why Celine is, I don't know. I don't know. By all accounts, great show. Everybody loves her performance. She's fantastic. I don't know. So I'm sorry to disappoint you that I...
You're not disappointing me. It's okay.
Okay.
She also went to see J-Lo with a few friends for her birthday. She said it was exactly as expected. Good to see once. Wouldn't go again. She doesn't sing. She just dances a lot. So it's very similar to the Britney show. Also, Seersucker was amazing. That was anniversary dinner.
His call breaks up a little bit here, but
food is romantic, which I appreciate that. Monte Cristo Bar was really good at Caesar's Palace. I'd recommend that.
Another example of a new thing at Caesar's Palace. That's the new cigar bar that people have been very much enjoying at Caesar's. That just opened a couple months ago.
B&B Burger at the Venetian Palazzo was not very good. Just a regular average burger place. But, overall, a good trip. Keep up the good work. Thanks for the help. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the report, Guillermo. Appreciate that. It's good to hear about things that we don't hear about often. What about J-Lo?
I don't know. I've heard it. I've seen pictures of it and it looks cool.
It looks like a big spectacle, yeah, which I kind of like sometimes.
But I'd rather go see Britney.
I would too. Oh, by far. Because I like Britney's songs.
Mm-hmm. I'm not as familiar with J-Lo's catalog. Right.
Yeah. No, I would definitely take Britney over in many ways.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, I would choose Britney over J-Lo's shows at Planet Hollywood. But I do like a good stage spectacle from mm-hmm. time to time. So from that, I'd kind of like, yeah, if the conditions were right, if I were getting free tickets.
Yeah.
If we got a room offer and it included free J-Lo tickets, I'd be like, yeah, I'd do that. Mm-hmm. So we found J-Lo is above Celine, which doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
On the list of Las Vegas shows I would consider seeing. I don't know why.
Hmm.
I need some examination. I think I need a shrink to help me analyze this. Like, it's not logical.
No.
That I would choose.
There are a lot of things you do that aren't logical, so.
This is true. All right, next up.
Hey, 500, this is Ray in San Francisco. Just heard in your last podcast you mentioned your individual different experiences and preferences with regard to talking to cab drivers and Uber drivers. As an Uber veteran, I want to let folks who might experience their first Ubers in Las Vegas to know that not only are you as an Uber rider rating your drivers in terms of quality of experience, but drivers also rate you as a customer, so that drivers begin to see if someone barfed in their car or was drunk and obnoxious or did something along those lines. So when they have, let's say, two customers competing for their Uber availability, they are able to differentiate between the customer who's going to give them a better experience and the customer who might make them have a bad cleaning bill. So just remember, for those who are visiting Vegas and experiencing Uber for the first time, that you are being rated just as you can rate. And if you are chatty and friendly and engaging, you're more likely to get the coveted 5 stars. It's also important that if you are having a good experience, that you give drivers 5 stars as well. In fact, even just 4 stars can get them fired if they get enough of them, because drivers are competing to be the best as well. So just something to bear in mind as you experience Uber in Las Vegas. Cheers.
All right. Thanks for that information. Yeah, so I'm not, even though, like I said, I'm not really looking to have an extended conversation with most of my drivers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly not rude to them by any means, and I will always make pleasant small talk at the beginning of the, you know, I always ask people, I just do that in general with people I encounter, ask them how they're doing, and mm-hmm. so I don't really worry about my lack of desire to have a meaningful conversation with them as any indication I would have a low rating. And plus, the fact that I tip them is probably going to get me a good rating. So I would say that's probably more important to them than me striking up a meaningful conversation about the meaning of life.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at me like you're skeptical. Like
you're I'm totally skeptical.
Really? You've ridden in cars with me. I'm not.
You're polite. You say hi to people on the street more than I do.
I know. I think I'm a pretty.
You're gregarious.
I would not go that far. Yeah. Okay.
You cover up your tendency to be an asshole pretty well sometimes.
This is correct. I appreciate that. That's true. I'm not even going to be. I'm not even going to be offended by that. I'm just. That's fine. All right. Wouldn't you rather have me internalize my assholisms or save them for this podcast than to be an outright asshole?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
I have great respect for people in the service industry.
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely. I don't think I would say, compared to a lot of people who they deal with on a normal basis, unless they give me a reason to,
mm-hmm.
I'm not really, I can't, there's not that many experiences where I've been, had any sort of dickish interactions with service employees.
Where you've been the dick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any.
Okay. So I just wanted to make that clear, since you're saying that I'm A repressed asshole.
You have a lot of internal dialogue.
Oh, I absolutely do. And luckily, you're the one who gets to hear most of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know more than anybody what's really going on in this fucked up brain of mine. Some of it, a fair amount of it comes out when I have the microphones on.
Yep.
So that's fun.
Yeah. Like I love you anyway.
Anyway. Oh my God. All right. I am going to need therapy.
Oh, I didn't mean it to come out like that.
Let's take another call.
I love you with your flaws.
That's much better. Thanks.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is David from Louisiana. I just finished listening to the most recent podcast with one of the callers was kind of disgruntled by the lack of drink comps at a sports book. And I think I have a pretty good idea why the sports book comps are so stingy. When you place a straight bet, you are placing 10% juice on a straight bet. So in other words, it'll cost you $110 to win a $100 bet. But you're only going to pay that juice, that 10%, if you lose. So if the point spreads are figured correctly and half the money is on each team, only about half the guys placing that bet are going to win the bet. So the take for the sports book on a straight bet is about 5% expected return. So you can understand why they're not going to just let some bozo drink for 3 hours during a football game when the expected return is only $5. So I'm just playing devil's advocate for the casino, like they need that. But that's probably why they're so stingy. One drink per $100 bet because their expected return is only $5. That's my take on it. I'm looking forward to a Vegas trip in 3 weeks with my wife. We always go in the 4th of July week, and I am raring to go. Thanks for what you do, guys. See you later. Bye.
Alrighty, sir. Thank you, as always, for your call. And he kind of expressed what I lightly brushed over when we were discussing this last week, that it was likely a matter of casino hold, percentage hold, and he explained that very well. I think that is right on. All right. So before we run, this week's listener purchase of the week is the Phantom Aquatic Signature Mask Dry Snorkel Set. I was scanning the list of this week's purchases that people made using the Amazon affiliate link on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a tough time choosing because there were all these things that were told me it is summer.
Mm-hmm.
It was things for people's boats and things for accessories for people's grills and things like that. Grills like that you make food on, not like,
right, not like for your face.
Right. And that made me happy. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. Whenever it's summer, you know, especially the early months of summer.
You bought some grill accessories.
I know. You start to get in that, okay, I need to fix my shit up and get things functional. And I don't know. It just made me happy. It made me happy to see all that summer stuff because summer is way too short, especially around here. And so that's why I chose the snorkel set. Somebody is clearly going to enjoy their summer in the water, having a good time looking at rocks and fish and things. All right. So you can click on our Amazon link at 500bymidnight.com before purchasing something there, and we get credit. It's an easy way to support the podcast without spending any additional money other than what you're going to spend on your purchases. And it makes us love you, and we appreciate all of your use of that banner/link. Several karma donations this week. We have three recurring monthly donations. They are from Ryan, Kelly, and Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much for your ongoing support of the podcast. It does mean a lot to us. Karma donation from Robert and Carrie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our friends Krish and Matt, they said this is a donation fraught with purpose. Thank you for keeping it classy. Clearly, they're not listening to the right podcast because this is not it. And also, you two are the tits. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You two are the tits as well, Christian Matt. Love mm-hmm. you guys.
Yes.
Adrian with a karma donation. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you.
Our friend Brian, a.k.a. Pinata Massengill.
All right.
Last second karma donation from the airport, and it was also a subtle, he said there was a subtle Prince tribute based on the amount. And he said, because tonight I'm going to drink like The cocktails cost $19.99, which is easy to do when you're in Las Vegas.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Brian. Hope Greg, you're having an awesome time.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Greg with a Karma donation for good measure before the trip said he loves the podcast, and hopefully this donation will help me keep my gold bond supply fully stocked.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, thanks for that. I don't know that that's what it'll be used for, but I appreciate the sentiment and your concern for that area.
It has been rather humid this weekend.
Let's not get into this again. A donation from Wally. He said he loves the show, heading to Las Vegas a couple days ago when he made the donation, and said he appreciates the information and entertainment. Yes, Tim, entertainment.
Hmm.
I sometimes am surprised that you find this entertaining, so I appreciate that he does.
Thank you.
Christopher with Karma donation, upcoming guys trip for the weekend of the 17th. Said, once again, we've helped him plan and discover new things to do, and he truly loves the podcast. Awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
Andrew and Lauren from Anthem, Arizona. Karma donation for a last-minute one-night Vegas trip. I am jealous of people who are just close enough where it's like, let's just go for one night.
Oh.
It's dangerous.
Yes.
And I would probably find myself doing it too often and probably not. I'd go, well, since we're going to go one night, why don't we go for the whole weekend? Anyway, I think that's kind of not even kind of, I keep saying kind of. That's great, and I wish that I could do that. So, Andrew and Lauren, I hope you had a great time.
Yes.
Melanie, a.k.a. one of the debutantes of debauchery, her message said, bat wings.
Nice.
I've struck quite a chord with that discussion. Celebrating 1 year of being a listener and lover of all things 500, debauch on. Thanks, Melanie. And she sent us a video indicating she was impatiently waiting for the podcast this morning, so she'll be happy when she hears this. All right. Thank you all of you for your support. It means a lot to us.
Good luck to everyone who is visiting Vegas.
Some World Series of Poker action happening right now. Yep. We've got some listeners there, and we're polling for all of them. And wish that we could be there with you. I'm going through major withdrawals. I need to book a trip. All right.
We will soon.
Finally, I have a book. I wrote it. It's called The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. I have many books. There's just one that I wrote, though.
Uh-huh.
It's if you like this podcast, you'll probably like the book. If you haven't bought it yet, you can get all the details at LasVegasOutsidersBook.com. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it in the gift shop at the D Las Vegas if you're in Las Vegas and want to buy a copy. And other locations where finer books and audiobooks are sold. All right. Our website is at 500bymidnight.com. Email for Dear Tim and Michelle questions is 500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. Of course, we love to hear from you by voicemail at 702-866-9494. So please call us with your reviews. I don't know what's going to happen next weekend. We may or may not have a show. Unfortunately, it's not Las Vegas related, but
no. We've
got some conflicts. So we'll see. We may have a week off. We may do a show on a different day, but we'll cross that bridge. So if we don't have a show, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. In the meantime, thank you as always for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We hope you have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.